you also ran VRA for a while. It's good to see you, sir. Good morning.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine.
I worry about engineers who do public jobs, because it looks like it's a very difficult job. Whether it's VRA, UCG, Gridco, MIDA, how do you adjust yourself to take a public sector position like this?
Well, I think that in addition to having the technical expertise, you also build up, leadership skills. And by virtue of that, then you can undertake the role that you are called upon to do.
Mm. So, but do you need political skills to survive in, for example, VRA boss, where you are, and I'm not just out of the program, if you're a VRA boss, you know the problem, and yet because of the way Ghana politics is, you may have to, I don't know. How do you cope with such things?
Well, I think you go with the flow. I mean, in every job, in every public sector job, you have to interact with people who are politicians.
Mm.
And so you need to know how to advise and advise properly.
Mm.
And that's the way it goes. Mm. But I think that...
Sorry, we'll give you water. Forgive.
One of the things that we've tried to do is to ensure that you give advice based on sound technical, knowledge, and that advice,
So, what is the Millennium Development Authority? Who are you guys?
Well, the Millennium Development Authority is an accountable entity that government formed in 2006 by an Act of Parliament, Act 702. Later on, it was amended, to implement, to oversee, and manage the Millennium Challenge Compact that Ghana had signed then. With the United States of America. Now, after we completed Compact One, many people associate the N1 road with it, we decided, what do we need to do?
Okay.
And therefore, a constraint analysis was done. What are the constraints to the development of the country? And based on the constraint analysis, three constraints were selected. There was lack of access to credit, lack of access to secure land rights, and lack of adequate and reliable power supply. And government, out of those three constraints, decided that as we go into the next phase, we'll want to center, our projects around the third, the third constraint, which is the lack of adequate and reliable power supply.
But in that power supply conversation, there's distribution, generation, and transmission. Which part of these three would MIDA be concerned with?
MIDA is concerned with every segment of it. What happened is that when it was decided that we would like to address the issue of power supply inadequacy and power supply unreliability, we did what we call the root cause analysis.
Okay.
We did a problem-solving arrangement where you drill down and you find out what are the actual root causes of the problem. And then when you identify the root causes of the problem, then you build interventions or projects around those root causes. So that's what we did so far as Compact 2 was concerned.
So what is the root cause of lack of adequate power for Ghanaians?
Well, the root cause, there are a number of root causes. The root cause, one of the root causes is that, one, we need to improve the whole value chain, particularly in the distribution sector. Because somehow, when you produce power, power gets distributed, goes to the transmission company, it gets distributed by the distribution company, and it's a distribution company which interfaces with the customers and collects the money back so that the generator can recoup its investment. Now, if we do not address constraints in the distribution sector, then the generator cannot feel confident that their investments will be recovered. So that was an area. There was an area that were constraints in the distribution sector. It also appeared as if at that time when we did the analysis, we realized that there was a need to perfect the system of regulation. I mean, when I'm talking about tariff setting and all the other areas, there was a need to perfect it. There was a need to ensure that we have appropriate fuels so that we can generate, enough power. And then also there was a need to change our attitude to power in terms of energy efficiency and related matters. And so the projects that we designed, the six projects that we are going to undertake, are centered around these particular...
So you are not denying the need and the centrality of generation.
Yes.
In terms of getting plants that have fuels that can be affordable. But you're just saying that if you generate even 10,000 megawatts, if you can't manage the distribution effectively, it's a waste. So you want to solve the distribution side, and then when the generation improves, it will get to the customer.
Exactly. But the thing is that already we have already 20 years ago when government decided to undertake what we call the power sector reforms, some decisions were made. And one of the decisions that was made was to allow private sector participation in generation. In that respect, independent power producers were allowed. So under the present arrangement, you know, anyone who has the capacity to develop, you know, and produce power, it's allowed to come in, you know. So what we need to do, so far as generation is concerned, is to ensure that that arrangement works and works well.
Okay, know? Nobody can deny the fact that there's always been foreign involvement at some point in our power sector. I mean, Nkrumah spoke to the Americans before they helped him do a Kosombo negotiation with Kaiser. We know all that. But why? Okay, you say government wants to solve power, so it wants to clear distribution. I agree. But what in the distribution network of Ghana have the Americans seen to interest them? Do you follow me? I agree that Ghana wants to improve its distribution and therefore says this is where we want you to work. But obviously, Americans must have seen something about our power distribution, because from what I see about ECG and all that is said about them, for example, the World Bank, I mean, it says ECG has an overextended, unreliable distribution network whose failure imposes burdensome costs on the economy and discourages foreign investment. ECG and a lot of things that have been said about it doesn't seem like a very attractive proposition. Why would the Americans think that coming into the distribution side is going to benefit them in any way?
Well, Bernard, let me correct an impression. It is not Americans who think and they are coming in. The interventions which are being developed under Compact One were actually homegrown interventions. All the decisions have been made by Ghana. Of course, you relate to, you know, your partners and you come to a consensus. But the decision, and that's why I sent you back 20 years ago, the decision to reform the power sector value chain was taken when the power sector reforms was at that time. VRA, following that, VRA was broken down. We had VRA as it is, and we also had Ghana Grid Company. Now, there were also supposed to be reforms in the distribution end, and those reforms have not yet materialized. And so when the compact came in, government, who had already taken that decision, decided to use it as an opportunity to implement those decisions anyway. So it is not the Americans who are imposing anything on Ghana. Rather, it's Ghana which has decided, and with their aid,
I think you didn't. I'm not saying the Americans decided on their own to come into our power sector. I agree with you when you say Ghana government wanted to help improve the distribution side. But let's not forget that Millennium Challenge Corporation has to go through all the systems in the U.S. The Americans will not do anything which is not in their self-interest. So my point is, they obviously must have seen some synergies. They obviously must have seen some opportunities to come in and help fix the distribution side, to play some sort of role, to agree to come in. That's what I'm saying, that unless you're telling me that it is purely based on altruism and they just want to come and help fix our power and go to heaven, there definitely must be some benefit they will get.
The fact of the matter is that when President Obama decided to have the Power of Africa initiative, what was the reason? The reason was that President Obama felt that there was a need to improve power sector issues in Africa, and felt that within the next several years we should make sure that we had a certain number of connections, and we should also have a certain generation up to 30,000 megawatts improved, because the access to power within Africa at that time, you know, was in fact only about a third of Africans have access to power. So this is a general policy that America decided. Now, you may say that, well, they have their own self-interest. I think their interest is to ensure that as partners, we receive the benefits that we are required to do. These people are, you know, development partners, and at the end of the day, they want to ensure that you have economic development. Now,
really?
But the issue is that if in the process they gain something out of it, there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm not saying that. You see, the point is that every country works in their own self-interest, and with the greatest of respect, I think it would be quite I can't use the word naive to say that they are just interested in Ghana's economic development.
No, you see, when Ghana...
Because, okay, what specific areas within our distribution side will a private sector participant be involved in, for example?
let me address the question. What I'm saying is that if you have a trading partner and the trading partner improves, you will get the benefit in the sense that he becomes a stronger trading partner. So I'm not saying that there's nothing in it for them. What I believe is in it for them is that if we come, you know, stronger, if our economy improves, I mean, definitely it is to their benefit, because, you know, they will derive a lot of benefit from there. Now, coming to the compact, I must explain that this compact is not just ECG private sector participation. There are a number of projects. There are actually 6 projects, and the ECG private sector participation is one activity within a project. It's true that is the one that everybody is talking about. It's one activity within what the project that we call the ECG financial and operational turnaround project. You know, so and the second project is called the NEDCO.
Nothing Electricity Distribution Company Finance and Operational Turnaround Project. Similar to ECG. And the third one is...
And the third one is Regulatory Strengthening and Capacity Building Project, which looks at the regulations side. Then we have Access Project, where we encourage, you know, access or power supply to markets and schools.
Is that what we call it? Power Generation Sector Improvement Project?
No, that is the fifth one. Power Sector.
So the Access Project is the 10 million project. Yes.
Yeah. And then we have the Power Generation Sector Improvement Project, which looks like how the interventions that we are taking will create an enabling environment for power generation. And then we have the sixth one, which is the energy efficiency and demand side management project. So these are the 6 projects. Now, within this, out of the ECG financial and operational turnaround project, one activity is the private sector participation in ECG.
Yeah.
In fact, there are 5 activities in that project.
Yes, but that has become controversial because some people have not clearly understood what you mean by a private sector participant. And you haven't also said to us what specific areas this private sector participant will play. So maybe this is a good chance to tell us.
Yeah.
When you say a PSP, what do you mean?
Yeah, let me start by saying that already there is some private sector participation in ECG. For instance, there are prepayment, you know, cards that is being done by private parties. But insofar as the compact is concerned, the private sector participation is in the management, operation, and carrying out of investments in the entire ECG business.
Management, operation,
and investments in the entire ECG business. Virtually, what you are doing is that you are bringing in a private sector to come, bring in investments, manage the business, and also operate the business.
What kind of investments?
We are talking about financial investments. In fact, the investments
into what kinds of things?
Into various things that are required.
We want to know.
No. Let me tell you. Right now, ECG, you know, we have a number of equipment which are obsolete. They need systems to work in terms of, you know, up-to-date systems technology for arresting the issue of commercial losses. They need additional substations. They need to expand. They need to improve voltages. They need to improve reliability of supply in so many, many other areas. And ECG's capital investment program has always been such that they are not able to have the required investment. And so when a private partner comes in, that private partner will bring in that additional investment and ensure that...
But I would have loved you to tell us into what kind of things. Because ECG is a distribution company. What specific areas of investment are we looking at? Because if with our layman understanding of the way ECG operates, at least we can understand if you say we are going to buy electricity poles, we are going to do SCADA systems, we are going to do metering. Tell us some of the areas, and we can then relate that to how it will improve what ECG does to us.
Well, some of the areas, I can tell you, I can start by telling you first, as part of the MEDA compact, we ourselves are going to spend money to, you know, to undertake a number of infrastructure projects. So I can start from there.
Yes.
What we are going to do is that we are going to modernize this. We are going to have a geographical information system. We are going to have an enterprise resource system. We are going to build additional transmission, sub-transmission lines. We are going to build additional substations. We are going to build we are going to improve voltage supply. We are going to have systems that will address the issue of losses. We are going to replace legacy meters with prepayment meters. You know, we are going to have a system where their training school will be improved. We are going to have so many other interventions that are going to be done under the compact. But beyond the compact, when the concessionaire also comes, the concessionaire is required to carry out, based on the investment plan that ECG has right now, they are supposed to carry out investments during the tenure of their arrangement.
But who is going to manage ECG?
The management of ECG, what is going to happen is that ECG will then become an asset holding company. ECG will own the asset, because the asset, ECG asset, is not going to be sold. It's not being privatized. It's going to, but the new company would manage ECG and will operate ECG and carry out the investments that are required within ECG.
So the new company doesn't own any asset. It just manages the asset that ECG owns.
Exactly. That is the arrangement.
What is the advantage of this model?
The advantage is that there is no transfer of ownership. The person doesn't own it. And what also happens is that in the very, very unlikely event that the party is not complying with their contract, you know, you can invoke the appropriate provisions in the contract, because the asset still belongs to you. The asset will still belong to Government of Ghana.
So what we are saying is that we trust the private person to manage ECG better than we trust the current management of ECG. That's what we are saying in a nutshell.
What we are saying is that we need investments within the distribution sector. We need to bring in a private partner. When that private partner comes in, that private partner will need to oversee ECG and make sure that their investments are working.
Because they don't trust the management of ECG.
Well, I don't know how, whichever way you want to.
I mean, let's be factual. Because somebody, for example, there was a write-up that said ECG used costly short-term foreign exchange dominated suppliers credit to finance purchase of equipment without competitive tendering and adequate regard to value for money. ECG should refinance these loans via cheaper long-term financing and cease using this funding instrument for its capital expenditure program. So there's a view out there that ECG is not being managed properly as a business. So if anybody wants to make an investment, they would need to be sure that the person managing ECG would not take such decisions, just like the one I just read.
Well, I think I would defer to you. I don't know the paper you are talking about. I am not going to deny the fact that there is a perception, whether you want to call it reality or not, there is a perception that ECG is not credible off-taker. And that perception must be addressed.
But my point is, if you are overseeing a process where private sector people are coming to revamp our power distribution, then you must not only be aware of ECG's problems, but you must admit them. But I get the sense for example, we are told ECG has excessive inventory costs because its stock levels are high due to uncoordinated procurement. You obviously must know these things.
No, definitely.
And we must be able to say it as it is if you want to convince the public to buy into what you're doing. But if you don't, it's almost as if I am the one saying ECG is inefficient. This is public record. This is World Bank write-up distributed to all concerned parties, which I'm sure you would know.
No, but I am not saying that ECG is doing as best as it should. Definitely, there are challenges in the ECG system. Definitely, we have not reached the optimum levels that we expect to see. And we expect that when the private partner comes in, they will be able to improve and much, much more improve the system, and we can receive the benefits that are required. But I didn't want to go into a system where we go into a discussion on ECG as a company.
But that's what we should do. Because it's our company. You see, this is the problem. We as Ghanaians must discuss ECG, know what its problems are, and then understand why government is doing what it's doing. So if 10 years later somebody comes to say this was a bad decision, we will say, look, we all understood what the problems were. This is why we took this decision. So we have to discuss ECG.
No, certainly. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, the records are there to show. It is true that over the past few years, ECG has been making losses.
Yes.
It is true that the technical and commercial losses are very high. These are issues that have to be confronted. But I'm saying that when we bring in a private partner, that private partner will be required to address these issues.
Okay. Some people who oppose the private partner's involvement say government has committed to cleaning the books of ECG before handing it over to the private partner to manage. And they think that's not fair, because some of ECG's indebtedness or some of ECG's financial problems is due to government indebtedness to it. So if you want to make sure ECG's debts are paid before you hand it over to a private person to manage, what shows that if you did that and allow the current management to go on, they wouldn't run it efficiently? Because the government itself admits that if you put all of it together, government owes ECG about 2 billion cedis.
Well, I don't have figures to bundle around. I know that over the past so many years, successive governments have owed ECG. And I also know that government has undertaken to pay those debts. But we also know that even if government settled all those debts, ECG may not be able to retire all its existing debt. That's the point I'm trying to say. You see, people always get the impression that once government pays the money, then it will, you know, will have zero debt. But that is not the situation.
But if somebody owes you 2 billion. So, and again, so all we need to know is how is the private manager or the private sector participant who's going to manage, how is he going to ensure that government doesn't owe it? Is it going to, for example, give prepaid meters to all state institutions?
No, what is going to happen is that is why I'm saying that we are looking at a holistic solution. We are looking at arrangements between the distribution sector and its customers, the arrangements between the distribution company and government authorities. We are looking at all the whole, and the whole sector has to be revamped such that when we start afresh with a private partner, we have a clean stage to work on.
It's 8:33. We're talking to Engineer Oru Asafo, Chief Executive Officer of Millennium Development Authority. Could you ask a couple of quick questions? We'll bring you your money soon.
Yes, my question is still on ECG, because if you look at the compact, we had four conditions to meet before the compact was approved and before Ghana signed. One was the approval of a gas action plan. One was the finalization of the Jubilee Gas Supply Agreement. The third one was a submission of a plan to pay arrears owed the Electricity Company of Ghana. And according to the MIDA memo that the government of Ghana signed, a plan was submitted by the Ministry of Finance in collaboration with the Ministry of Energy and Petroleum. Now, at your Sith board meeting, the MIDA Sith board meeting, the CEO of MIDA informed the board, I'm reading from your minutes, that the Minister of Finance signed the updated interim electricity distribution arrears plan, and this has been delivered to the MCC. So my simple question is, where are we with settling the arrears of ECG, which was a main condition that we had to take a look at before signing the compact?
Well, I think I should ask you where you got all this information from.
This information is on your website.
Yeah, okay.
This is on your website.
And the reason why I asked you that question, I wanted you to reiterate that is on our website.
Okay.
MIDA is a transparent organization. Even the minutes of our board meeting are posted on our website.
And this is what I'm reading from.
So let me
explain. So that's good news.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm telling you. I just wanted you to reiterate that.
We got it from their website.
We got it from
our. It wasn't from Anas.
From
their website.
And our minutes every time will be put on the website.
Brilliant.
But let me explain to you that yes. Every funding arrangement has conditions. Even when you go for a loan, there are conditionalities, you know, and one of the conditions is what you are talking about. Government has signed on to an to a payment plan, and I'll say that government is complying with that payment plan. Government is required to make quarterly payments, and they are making those quarterly payments.
Because you said you don't know how much we owe ECG, so the ECG debt, but the conditions of the MIDA contract had the third condition, main conditions. The third condition specifically mentioned that we should have a plan to pay the ECG debt, a submission of a plan, which the Ministry of Finance, in collaboration with the Ministry of Energy and Petroleum, submitted.
Uh-huh.
So it should give us at least the figures as to how much the government of Ghana owes. Now you're saying we are paying quarterly installments. So how much are we paying every quarter? How much do we owe the ECG? How much more do we have to pay to correct the deficiencies in the system when it comes to ECG?
Let me explain. I may not want to go into the exact figures. Now, so far as the plan is concerned, the plan addresses arrears up to 2013.
Okay.
And then the plan also, you know, in 2014, there was a government policy that MTAs have to make their own payments in terms of what they owe. So the plan also came up with arrangements as to how MTAs will make those payments, you know. So government, you know, all the arrears that are owed up to the end of 2013 was compiled, was agreed upon, and government is making quarterly payments in respect of those payments. Now, in respect of arrears that are owed in 2014, and arrears in 2015, those arrangements, ACG is making arrangements to collect those money.
We'll take a break and bring you your money. This is the City Breakfast Show. Our guest is the Chief Executive of Millennium Development Authority, Engineer Oru Asafo, is in the hot seat. We're talking to him about plans to make our power sector more effective. It's a big issue. This morning, front page of Graphic, 250 megawatt power plant arrives. Well, if we don't manage the power properly, then there's no point in bringing new power. I think that's the whole idea of the arrangement, to make sure our power distribution is efficient. So that's what we're talking about. If you have a question for our guest, send a text message 054-998-6996. But your money is brought to us by EcoBank, and you can withdraw cash from Airtel Money or MTN Mobile Money at any of EcoBank's over 200 ATMs without an ATM card. All you need to do is to call 0302-213-999. These cardless ATMs are fast, easy, and convenient. The best things in life. So, Kojo, what's your personal finance tip for us this morning?
I think we can learn from the Ministry of Finance and the government in as to how they are paying the ECG debt. If you owe somebody,
quarterly.
Yes, if you owe somebody, let's say, 10,000 CDs, don't wait till you get 10,000 CDs to pay everything.
Yes.
Pay in bits and pieces.
Actually, it's easier to pay somebody 1,000 a month than to give them the 10,000.
Yes.
Bulk.
Yes, so pay in bits and pieces as and when you get money, so that you reduce your debts, and the that also saves you from the interest you have to pay on your debts. The same thing applies to saving. If you have a savings target of say 10,000 CDs, don't start till you get 2,000 CDs before you start saving.
Mm-hmm.
25 CDs, 1 CD, 10 CDs, little drops of water makes a mighty ocean.
Sharp.
So save in bits so that you can achieve your target.
That was your money brought to you by EcoBank, the Pan-African Bank.
When I grow up, I want to be a doctor.
When I grow up, I want to be a lawyer.
When I grow up, I want to be a banker.
Help make their dreams come true simply by transferring money for school fees through Rapid Transfer. It's quick, convenient, and easy to use. And you can transfer money within Ghana and across the EcoBank footprints in over 30 African countries. You don't need an EcoBank account. And for every transfer you make, you'll get a free gift. To use Rapid Transfer, visit any EcoBank branch or go to ecobank.com. Terms and conditions apply. EcoBank, the Pan-African Bank.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
Okay, let's go. Let's go. Challenge a come on a full light. Anytime I force you, bring your light. ECG for your move, your mob when I say I'm with say you're free, and you're fine.
And you're fine, and you're fine.
And then I come to 7-4 off. And then I shall my bear cough. Let's share when you're watching switch in the chin. And one want to cock, say I want you rough. So come on, I'll throw a light. And then tell my bear your light.
You're light, you're light.
ECG for your move, your mob when I say I'm with say you're free, and you're fine.
And you're fine, and you're fine.
And then I come to 7-4 off. I shall my bear cough. The same when I want to switch in it, she never want to go, so I won't die rough.
Hello, hello.
Zach.
What's up?
What's up, boy?
Okay.
I won't go.
Sakodia.
Fight
in New York.
Ah, okay, because you do me a little bit here. I'm not charging my phone.
What up, bruh? Okay.
Nyanko pansa ni amba poma kame mame. Nye beto me mane diye wuni pebi ebe gane. Omaya wuti ma wo life okra wuntu ni mplane. Wuda sum. Usansu nisika wudi tredi ane. Enkane wuko sukuwa yese watra. Ende uni jenueta na chese wa mbobra. Aho chile.
And talking about light, I want to say good morning to Ferdinand Abudakbi. Chale, that your solar powered fan stroke radio stroke torchlight stroke everything candle. Charlie, the fan has radio, it has torchlight, it has candle, it has fridge, it has everything. Hey, Ferdinand Abudakbi, you're a big man. Yeah. Yesterday, he heard me complain about sleeping in heat. He brought me a fan, which is like Nika Nika. The fan does everything. It is named after him, Freddy something fans, made in China but assembled in Ghana. Bena, please ask your media guest how they intend to solve the tariff issue where ECG is buying at a higher price than it is selling. If we are moving towards multiple electricity providers, then we should think of electricity meter portability, just like mobile number portability, so we can easily switch providers. Nia and Sam from Sakumino. Let me let you address those two questions before we get in. Somebody wants to know how you intend to solve the tariff problem where ECG buys power at a higher price than it sells. At least that's a claim. And then it says, if you are going to enter multiple electricity providers, then there should be electricity meter portability. So can you address this point?
Well, I agree with you that definitely if you are going to buy power, then you should buy it at a lower price than you will sell it. Let me say that the whole concept of power purchases is being reviewed by the Ministry of Power, and you know the appropriate reconciliation and appropriate adjustments will be made. But in a new regime, definitely arrangements will be made to ensure that under every condition, the power that we purchase is cheaper than what we are going to sell. So that's
the first point.
He said,
the second one has to do with if we have private participants in power distribution, where we'll have multiple electricity distributors or providers, then will there be electricity meter portability?
Yes, eventually we'll get to retail competition, you know, but it's a gradual step. You know, right now we will not immediately have that. Right now, the arrangements that we have, we will still have the concessionaire responsible for the entire ECG system.
Okay.
But as we go further into the future, I think that the directive and the policy that government has taken is to have retail competition where the assets will be managed by the company, but you can choose and say that this distributor I want, this I don't want.
Wow.
We are going
ECG will get competition. In a sense,
no. In a sense, what I'm going to say is that, you know, in a sense, you can have lines going through everywhere, and you say that I want supply from this particular supplier, but we are not yet there.
That's because I know that recently you were part of the launching of the Enclave Power Company, where the president was, which is described as Ghana's first privately licensed electricity distribution company.
Yes.
How is that relationship going to work? So, if I live at Mamprobi, Will they give maybe Mamprobi, just as a hypothetical example, to Enclave Power and give Dansoman to ECG?
Yes.
Is that how you're going to do a distribution based on geography? Or how is it going to work?
That is one way of doing it. That is one way. In fact, it's the simplest way of doing it because it makes so that you don't have A, B, C lines crisscrossing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the simplest way. But another way of doing it, you know, as is done in the UK and in other places, is that the lines will be operated and managed by a different company.
Okay.
But the business is owned by different companies.
So it's like Network Rail in the UK and then the Virgin.
Yes, teams. Yes. So the company that supplies you, you know, will still use the lines and pay whatever, you know, fees that are associated with it. And then you can select, and they will ensure that the level of customer service, the level of reliability is ensured through the contracts that they sign.
What advantage does that give, though? If there's a separate company managing the train line, using that example, and then somebody providing you London Midlands or Virgin Train, so that is that more efficient?
It's a more efficient system because everywhere in the world, wherever there is competition, there is efficiency, and therefore you can ensure that the service is better. You can just use the same system that applies to maybe our mobile phone arrangements. But let me explain that we are not yet there.
Okay.
We you know, under the present compact, we will not have that arrangement.
So this could be a second follow-up.
This is a follow-up. This is the policy that the Ministry of Power, and I don't want to be their spokesman. Mm-hmm. I mean, but the Ministry of Power has a policy that we will have retail competition, and that is where we are driving towards eventually. But under this compact, we will not have that.
You also said that there will be local participation, and that for every company coming into the distribution space, they must have a local partner.
Yes.
Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, what I'm saying is that, you know, when we are looking for a local participant, we want to ensure that there's local participation. We want to ensure that that local participation is not only at the governance level, but it's also at the operational level. And so for that matter, when we receive bids, the whole process is a very transparent process. Okay. I know people have said we are already chosen. No one has been selected. Mm-hmm. We are going through a transparent process. You know, now, when we receive a bid, that bid must make provision for local participation. In fact, a transaction that does not make provision for local participation does not meet our requirements.
But what does local participation mean?
What local participation actually means is the details are being defined, and within the next week or so, that definition will be given. But it means participation at the investor level. And it also means participation at the operational level. And
we... So not some token involvement, which we've seen in some sectors when they talk of local content.
We are not talking about tokenism. We are saying that Ghanaians must participate. So, because people have said that, look, since you are looking for a company that has got experience and track record, no Ghanaian company may be eligible. And we are saying that Ghanaian companies can partner others, you know, and so they may bring in some other asset, and then the foreign company also will bring in other asset. It is important to us that happens.
How important is getting the right tariff to all of this? Because as we speak, the all kinds of power, the power mix is so complicated. There's hydro, there's the thermal, the gas. Now we have these batch coming, then there are these generator sets they're bringing, and I'm sure it costs different to produce the same kind of power. To what extent does your progress depend on getting the tariff right? And yes, first answer that.
Let me explain that. The program that we have, I know that there's a lot of discussion on tariff increases. That has nothing to do with our program. You know, the PRC has its own way of ensuring tariff increases for the various companies, and they will do that. But within the compact, we are supposed to relook at the whole mode tariff setting mechanism and what is related to it. That's what we call a reform of regulation. And we are going to have an in-depth study as part of the compact, where we will study the whole tariff methodology, we'll study what are the cost drivers, and agree on what the actual, you know, tariffs should be and what the plan should be going forward. Mm. So, and address the issue of tariffs once and for all. But let me also add quickly to say that people have expressed concern that because we are going to have a private partner, it's going to lead to tariff increases. No, it doesn't happen like that. You see, when you have an increase in efficiency, right now we have a system where ECG, the losses, you know, are around 35%. Now, if that loss is halved, it will save around $150 million. You know, per annum. So just because a private partner is coming in does not necessarily mean that there's going to be an increase in tariffs.
So are you pledging a certain reduction in distribution losses?
Yes, that will be part of the criteria. The criteria, and I will not want to go into all the details because the structure, you know, is being dealt with, and within the next week or so we'll have the details of the structure. But one of the things will be reduction of losses, you know, and the investment program that the company will bring in and the expertise that
so they are bringing. So if they are unable to reduce the losses,
then there will be penalties.
There will be penalties, or it will even be considered a breach.
Yes.
These are almost like performance contract.
Performance contract, exactly. You know, they're going to perform performance indicators, and the performance indicators would include this whole gamut of
one things. Wonders why we couldn't give those to ECG, but that's a different discussion. Another point. So what is the role of MIDA in all of this? So because we have of course the parasitas, ECG, VRA, and all these people, we have PURC as well. So where are you sitting? And it's also the power ministry.
Yeah.
Where do you sit in
all? Where we are sitting is that we put everything together. Mm. And make it go, because under the compact program, it was decided that wherever a grant is given, they will form a separate entity that will put together all the procurements, will oversee the procurements and manage the procurements and ensure that we have. And these are controls that will ensure that, you know, we have transparency, we have competitiveness, and all that is required. Let me give you an example with N1. When we're building N1, even though the road is owned by Ghana Highway Authority, MIDA worked closely with Ghana Highway Authority, but MIDA was the one who put out bids. MIDA was the one who entered into contracts with the contractor, and MIDA was the one who ensured that the construction was done. Of course, with the help and assistance of Ghana Highway Authority, and that is the same arrangement.
But this is funny, and maybe this is a point you may not want to address, but Kojo, it seems to me as if the idea is that we can't trust American money to be managed by the system that we have. So we have to put up a system that we trust, which will be transparent, which will be efficient, which, because if you look at the issues in Ghana, the procurement corruption is massive. So if you look at MIDA, and you can choose not to answer this, but I get the sense that your team is to make sure that the American money is disbursed in a way that the American taxpayer will not be offended, because we know this thing goes through their Congress, and so there has to be some transparency, there has to be some accountability, some scrutiny, and some reporting, and some openness. which you have to enforce predominantly because of where the money is coming from.
Well, I agree with what we are required to do, but the reason I don't agree with necessarily, yes, we are there to ensure transparency and enforce all that is required, but also to ensure that there is focus. You see, when if you set up a separate entity, that is what we are set up to do, and therefore we can bring all the attention that is required, you know, to bring to it and ensure that we do our jobs and
well. You don't want to enter Ghanaian politics. Michael Edumata Nyantechi is the Deputy General Secretary of the Public Utility Workers Union of the TUC. He's called into the program to make a point. I do not know what point he wants to make. I presume he's been listening to the program and wants to make an intervention. Michael Edumata Nyantechi, Deputy General Secretary, PUWU, Public Utility Workers Union. Mr. Edumata Nyantechi, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Bernard.
So what intervention did you want to make?
Yeah, a small issue we want to correct is about the way this whole public sector participation in the ECG program is being presented as the only solution to address the challenges facing ECG. And that is where, as workers, we have serious misgiving about this whole project. The compact in general being given to Ghana as a grant is very good. The only problem we have is making it a condition that because you are bringing this about 500 million, therefore the company should be given to a private entity to operate. And we think that is an area which is both an indictment on us as a nation, and also at the end of the day, we are preparing a very cash cow company for foreign entities to come and just reap. The benefits that the Americans or whoever will take over as a private entity will be more than whatever they are bringing in. All over the world where these private sector entities have started, they go on a small scale, try to do a pilot, find out how it will affect the whole entity, and then roll on. We think that there are other alternatives which can be used to address the challenges facing ECG without necessarily handing over the company to any private entity.
But Michael, your concern the efficient running of our power distribution or the ownership? Because in 2011, ECG made a loss. In 2012, it made a loss. In 2013, it made a loss. Now, you're saying it's going to become a cash cow. Shouldn't you be concerned about why your power distributor is making losses instead of asking whether it's going to be owned by a private or public person? The issue is about service, not about who owns. Is that not the argument?
Yeah, the two are intertwined. Because many of the challenges making the company to incur a lot of these losses is also because of the political interference by the government and failure by the owner to do what is right. And we think that we should, if there are issues about management challenges, we should address it and find a way to fix it. And the solution does not lie in just packaging the company for a private entity to come and take over.
But he's explicit. Okay.
And also, we believe that this whole concession business, if the Americans are genuinely interested in helping Ghana address its power concerns, why should the private sector participation be a condition precedent to disbursement of funds under the compact? Because we know you were asking that question, but the response was not coming. The Americans have conducted a study. They know that if they invest even about $117 million in the power sector, specifically in the distribution, over a 20-year horizon, the interest that will accrue will be more than $700 million. So it's not any Father Christmas or any altruistic motive, but there are very serious issues that we need to address as a nation so that we can make ECG credible.
All right, so Michael, it possible to make ECG efficient and profitable with the way it's being managed under the current arrangement?
It's very possible. Very simple. One, if all the conditions the government has agreed to perform for the private operator those same conditions are applied to ECG, ECG can easily turn around. But you don't create a situation where it's like you are tying the hands of the company, but for the private operator, you are leaving, creating a very clean slate, removing all the obstacles and the things that are making the company not to perform, and then bring in the private operator out after removing all these challenges. And then you say that, oh, the private operator is doing very well. We think that is a hypocritical, and it doesn't really address the issue.
Are these views shared by management of ECG as well, or this is just workers?
Yeah, you see, unfortunately, let me be very blunt. Because of the way management of ECGs are appointed by the powers that be, sometimes when even the right thing has to be spoken, everybody is afraid of his position. They don't speak. And that is the bottom line. And I don't think that any management there will be happy with this agreement, which indirectly is indicting them of not being efficient when the problems are not solely within. There are some problems that can be traced to management, but there are bigger obstacles that need to be addressed. And those are the things the NCC has made it as condition precedent. And if these conditions are not addressed, there is no way any private entity can come and operate ECG under this same arrangement the company is going through now and be profitable.
Okay.
That is why they have...
But if you admit that there's a leadership problem because the leaders are appointed by political forces, then if that arrangement changes and people who don't depend on politics lead the organization with the efficient workers that you are, I'm sure you can make profit.
Yeah, so that's why we are saying that if there are leadership challenges, let's address them in a proper manner and not through this agreement of saying that let's pack bag and baggage, give it to the private operator before we can address the challenge. Let me give you just one simple example. To avoid all this political interference, if ECG is given to a manager who has, let's say, just even a 5-year fixed contract with key performance indicators and giving the free hand to operate within that range, the company can be turned around. But over a 5-year period, you can count not less than about 4 or 5 managing directors that have come and gone. Which company can run efficiently?
But you admit that because of our electoral cycle and politics, that is highly unlikely that you give a manager a 5-year contract within the political arrangement you have. So you have to also be pragmatic to say that the politics of appointing bosses of ECG means that most of them are condemned to fail from day one.
You see, that is where I was thinking that if the MCC was really interested in helping Ghana to address the issues of power, they could have made one of these as a condition in the agreement. We all know the former chief executive, Edson Benjamin, at a point when there was change in government, they tried removing him. But what happened? Because the Americans came in, that didn't happen. We all know it's an open secret. So if they are interested that the issue is about management, find a way.
Oh, we lost Michael Edumata. It was a trip of the line. I really wanted to finish with him. Michael, please call back. I'm loving the conversation with you. I hope listeners are too. It's 9 o'clock on the dot, and I'm going to continue with my guest in the studio. He says this morning is for us, so we are keeping him here for a few more minutes. He is Engineer Aurora Safo, and we believe this is one of his first studio appearances, although he's done interviews. So we want him to explain the whole arrangement to us. So your comments are welcome on 054-9986-996. We'll get back to Michael to finish the submission, come back in studio and wrap up with Engineer Aurora Safo. But if you need a house, talk to ASN. There's a new smart way to own a home in Ghana. Whether it's a 2 or 3 bedroom house, whether it's detached or semi-detached, you can get a house through the Home Investment Fund from ASN Financial Services Limited. Now, why pay huge initial deposits when buying a house? Why pay huge rent advance when you can pay for your own house? Open an account at ASN, invest every month for between 1 to 5 years, move into your own house. Call ASN on 026-8322-177. Mobile Zone, authorized dealers of Techno products in Ghana, have introduced the latest flagship phone, the full metal 5.5-inch full HD 4G Techno Phantom 5 with fingerprint ID. This one has a wide-angled HMP front camera with flashlight and other interesting features. It comes with 6 GB of data for 6 months free from MTN. Call our hotline 0244-580095 or visit all Mobile Zone shops or any Mobile Zone shop and partner shops across the country, including our shops at Osu Junction Mall, Osu Mall, or head office Dakuma Junction. Back on the line, Michael Edumata Nyantechi, Deputy General Secretary, Public Utility Workers Union. Michael, we lost you. Let me frame my next question, then you can box in your previous answer. Is there just a fear that Ghanaian workers have when they hear that their company is going to be sold or is going to have a private sector participant? Because ECG is not being sold, from what we know. Because from ADB workers to all kinds of workers within the public sector, once they hear a private sector person is coming in, they don't like it. Why? Is it an ideological opposition that you just don't want the private person to manage such something like ECG? Or is it because you fear that they will lay you off? Or, why do Ghanaian public sector workers always resist any attempt to bring a private person into their operations?
Well, to be very blunt, let me say, often there is the apprehension of the fact that there could be potential workers layoff. But in the situation that we are talking about, that is not the issue, because we have attended a number of the workshops organized by UDA, where the consultants have made their presentation to the effect that under the agreement, what we are working, the assessment they've made so far, it doesn't show that ECG is overstaffed, so no staff is going to be laid off under the compact. So that is not our key issue. The issue we are raising goes beyond just staff layoff. We think that the company can be made to turn around and be a credible off-taker of power without going under this burdensome arrangement under the compact of necessarily handing over to a private participant. And that is where our belief is. If there are issues of management that can be addressed without putting the company in a position where at the end of the day, over the 25-year period, whoever the concessionaire is coming in, understand that he's not coming to do any NGO work. The benefits they will repatriate from this country will be more than whatever they bring in. And that is where we think that as a nation, we must look at options that will enable Ghana to be first and we get the best. Rather than this, for me, I see the MPP compact, although good, as something like a Trojan horse. They are bringing something sugar-coated, but at the end of the day, what they will take out of our country is more than what they are bringing.
But why are you not concerned about what we, the customers, get? Why are you more concerned about some profit that an American will make? When I have to deal with Sundays are looking for prepaid credit I can't get, I buy credit, I don't have power, as something blows in my area, it takes 2 weeks for it to be fixed. You are not interested in that. You're interested in whether someone is going to make profit or not. The Ghanaian consumer wants efficient service, and you've not been able to give them that.
We are very much interested in that. And the company on its own, if anyone can stand and sit, there are a lot of interventions that ECG on its own has initiated to address many of these challenges. The bigger question of diesel is not something that is entirely within the control or is caused by ECG. Apart from those ones, many of the issues that are being raised are being addressed by management. And private sector capital is being made with currently by ECG to assist in its infrastructure upgrade. So it's not like nothing is being done to address. The reality is that there is shortage of supply, and you cannot solely say that it's because of ECG. That is an statement made, but not really substantiation.
Okay.
So let's look at the key issues, address them, and we as workers have also taken the pains to look at such reforms across the world and realize that the net effect have not been anything beneficial.
Okay. Let me read a text message that came in for you, and this is my final question. Bernard, the workers of ECG are only trying to protect one interest. They are stealing. One of them along the chain of approval for a contract had the temerity to sit in my office to beg me to reduce interest, which had accrued on a loan we had given to a customer to import equipment for ECG because our interest had eaten into their share of the profit. They are scared of the coming of the Americans because their thievery will be stopped or significantly curtailed. Check this out. This is from a texter whose name I will not mention. What's your response to this?
Yeah, Ben, I cannot say that there are no individuals in ECG who may be doing or carrying out some malfeasance activities. In any company, you may have one or two that will carry out some of these things. But that is not the reason they claim to say because of this fact, let's pack the company and give it to a private operator. There are private organizations and companies, even from the American system, the Enron and all those federal government companies. So all those things happen, but that attempt to that can cause problems. And when the company has embarked on a course of action to address many of these challenges, you can't just bundle it, wholesale, and then say a private man comes and says, you are the only one who has the solution. ECG can be turned around apart from it to a private entity. And I think that option should be looked at seriously. Because the net effect, when the private man comes to manage after 25 years, when he leaves, what happens? So let's look at how we can build systems and make the organization strong. We're talking about, because of elections, you cannot get a managing director with a five-year contract who will work on delivery. If we are serious as a nation and we see power as a critical entity, then we all need to put in place measures that will enable us to deliver. But we cannot create a loose system and then turn around and say that it's not working. If you want the things to work, let's do the right thing. NCC has seen and identified the challenges, make them condition precedent. Government has signed undertaking to address them and prepare the company so that the private operator can come and do well. And for us, we think that is very unfair. Let's do proper assessment, provide the same opportunities, even if it's within a trying period, and let's see whether the company cannot be turned around. And we think other options should be looked at rather than just private sector.
Thank you very much, Michael. Edumata Nyantechi, Deputy General Secretary, Public Utility Workers Union, TUC, called in to make a point. We engage him for a few minutes. It's 10 minutes past 9. We still have Engineer Ura Asafo in the studio. We'll read some comments from Kojo. I don't know if Mr. Asafo, you want to make a quick comment on the workers and how you've been engaging them.
Yeah, I would like to address a number of issues. Number one, the impression is created that there is an American company somewhere who is coming to talk about. That is not true. The process we are embarking on is a fair, transparent process. And we have all the facts to demonstrate that no one has been pre-selected. In fact, we issued a request for expression of interest, and we'll continue to send bulletins out to show whatever stage we reach to let people know that the process is a transparent process. Again, let me say that MIDA, as the implementing organization, has a track record for transparency. Under Compact 1, we issued over 800 contracts. And even though there is a bid challenge system within our arrangements, there wasn't a single bid challenge to any of those contracts. So there is no American company who has been selected. It's going to be transparent. The person could come from China, it could come from UK, it could come from Sweden, it could come from Ghana, it could come from anywhere. We want to ensure that we have a reliable private sector participant. Then the second thing I want to say is that when we say that the private sector participant is going to take away or is going to be a cash cow, that is wrong. You know, the electricity market is a regulated market. It is going to, prices are regulated by the regulatory organization, and therefore we never have runaway profits in a regulated market. the concessionaire will not set their own prices. In fact, they will be regulated for quality of service, and they will be regulated even for prices. So, but the last point is that we have agreed that we will not have a media war. I mean, the two boards, the ECG board and the media board, and therefore we are engaging the Public Utility Workers, you know, we have met them a number of times. We continue to engage them.
Mm. Yeah. So before we wrap up, could you ask a couple of final points?
Yes. I still want to visit the tariff thing, Bernard, because we are talking about tariffs. We've been talking about tariffs and all. The continuation of the quarterly tariff adjustment, which process is ongoing, was one of the conditions or affirmations that the government of Ghana had to agree to. Or meet for the contract to be signed. And if you read the various media documents, like the introduction and the executive summary, among the broad constraints in the power sector are the following specific challenges. And number one on that broad constraint was cost-reflective tariff regime. Now, the VRA is asking us for specific tariffs. ECG is asking for tariff increments. We all know that for the ECG to be viable, to be a viable business, their debts have to be paid. They have to get economic tariffs. My question simply to you is that, do you agree, or what's your view on the tariff request by the ECG, which is a main player in this, and also the NETCO, because the power that the VRA is supplying to ECG and NETCO, VRA is asking for an increment. If you look at thermal power generated with DFO, the VRA is asking, is saying that they want to sell it for 86.9 pesos per kilowatt. And that is the economic tariff, because if you look at their cost and all. So what's the view of the media on the tariff request by the various utility companies in the power sector?
Let me explain that the tariff increases that are being requested for is different from what MEDA is doing. I mean, but I agree that under the MEDA covenants, there is the need for government to respect adjustments in tariffs. We have nothing. We have no statement concerning figures. What the condition precedent said is that when it is time to adjust tariffs, please ensure that you adjust tariffs appropriately. That is all that our covenant says. But as to the specifics of the figures, we have no say. It is the Public Utility Regulations Commission that has the right to do that, and that will do it. But I also added that within the projects that we are going to embark on, there is going to be a new tariff study. It will take about a year when we will go through an intensive study and determine what the actual issues in tariff setting are and agree on what tariffs should apply. You know, so once and for all, that reform to tariff will be done and will put to rest the whole problem of this tariff is not reflective, it is not economic. Once we do that, we will put to rest that problem.
Okay. A quarter past 9, we'll read a few messages and wrap up. We've been having breakfast with the man in the hot seat. Hey. Yeah, it's not an easy job. Chief Executive of Millennium Development Authority. Particularly because a lot of people think that the first group did a good job with their compact one. For which reason we got another compact. So it's sort of a tough act to follow. I'm sure you need all the luck you can get. Kojo, what are some of the comments?
Salon from American House says, good morning, Bernard. The media people are just interested in taking over ECG because he's avoiding a lot of your questions. Wamoza in Accra says, good morning, Bernard. Your guests failed to answer the question on investments the Americans will be making apart from what MEDA itself will be doing.
Mm.
If it's a problem of management, then why not give the chance to Ghanaians unless it's a conditionality?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one reads, Bernard, please ask him what his views are on the many institutions directly involved in the power sector of Ghana, NETCO, ECG, VRA, GRIDCO, Ministry of Power, etc. What are his views?
Yeah.
This message has no name to it. It says, hi guys, please ask him if the distribution lines would be underground, unlike what we have now. And when there's rain or strong winds, we get issues. How are we going to fix all those things?
Mm.
Now, this message reads, Bernard, ask your guest what happens to the debt already owed to the ECG by the government and the MMDAs.
Mm.
Kwesi in Tema says, hi City, how much will it cost the government to convert the Akosombo Dam to pump storage hydroelectric dam? The Akosombo Lake stretches to Sogakope, so there's abundance of water. they should consult professionals. It will be cheaper than purchasing power badges and running on light crude oil and LPG from Kwesi in Tema. So one question is the ECG debt again. The person didn't really get your answer, so he wants you to...
Anyway, all the comments on the show are brought to us by GT Bank. And, well, the thing is that Santa is coming to town earlier than expected because we're giving back. It's called the GT Bank Gives Back Campaign. We're rewarding all new customers who walk into any of our bank's 32 nationwide branches to open an account from October 19 to January 31. With a remaining balance or minimum balance of 200 CDs, open an account with GT Bank and get beautifully branded quality gift items. In addition, you will also be profiled for Guaranteed Trust electronic notification to enable you monitor activities on your account. GT Mobile is working for all. Call 0302-611-560. Okay, so there were quite a number of questions. There are too many. My thing to you is maybe you can answer one or two, because there's another issue that keeps coming up about the involvement of ECG in power purchase agreement. Whether that's not a deviation, because in our interview with Dr. Charles Rekuburobe last 2 weeks, he showed us information to the effect that at least there were 22 separate power purchase agreements that ECG was directly involved in. And he thought that that's also sort of weakening VRA, that if VRA is doing generation, why should ECG directly be involved in buying power? I don't know whether that's part of the reforms that the new law proposes and whether it sits well with the arrangement that you have. So I wanted you to address that in addition to some of the questions.
There was a question of the ECG debt, and I'll explain again. Government has given a plan for settling the debt, and government has started making quarterly payments to redeem those debts. So that is being tackled. That is my answer. The second question is the issue of IPPs. Now, there are various ways of handling independent power. I mean, you are talking about power purchase agreements. There are various ways of handling those power purchase agreements. Some people have said that we should have an independent body. You can call it a trading organization, which will sign contracts and then pass on those contracts onto ECG. Let me tell you what we are doing under the compact. Under the compact, we are going to come up with an independent power purchase solicitation plan. Right now, what happens is that we sit down, companies come and say, I can build this plant. Mm. And then we go into terms and arrangements, and then we have to negotiate the price, and then we take it. Now, we want to go out there. We want to go through a bidding process. We want to go through a competitive process. We have a plan. We need 200 megawatts in year 2016. We put up a tender. Who can build this plant for us, and at what price? And we go through a competitive process, and we select that particular company. Year 2020, we need 1,000 megawatts. So that independent power producer solicitation plan will be very, very helpful, because rather than being reactive, it will be a proactive action that will be taken, and that will resolve the issue of power purchase agreements that some people feel are not to the benefit of Ghanaians, because it will be a competitive process. Now, the other question that you asked, each of them is performing their own function. You know, each perform has their own function. VRA by law right now is supposed to be doing generation. Now, GridCo is there because if VRA is doing generation and another independent power producer comes in to generate, then you need an independent transmitter. Otherwise, it is alleged that if transmission is being done by VRA, then it will be to the detriment of the new company which is coming. That is why there was a need to form an independent company called GridCo to handle it. In distribution, ECG is the one doing distribution. And then that is for the southern sector. And okay, in the northern sector, NEDCO. So, and Ministry of Power has the policy as a policy-making organization for the whole power sector. So I don't think that there are too many. If each one is supposed to perform their role, and if we all perform our role, then the system will work.
There was a final question I wanted you to address, and this question has to do with whether the distribution generation using solar is part of MIDE's strategy.
Yes, what we are doing under the project that I call the Energy Efficiency and Demand Side Management Project is that we are going to convert a number of a number of street lights, you know, into solar street lights. We are going to install a number of solar panels on a number of government buildings in the universities. We are going to encourage the use of, you know, renewable energy, and we are also going to generally build energy efficiency within our curriculum. Basically, what we are trying to do is that DUMSO, as you know, government is coming up with systems to address DUMSO in the immediate term. But the compact tries to address DUMSO in the medium term. Because then once you address, it's like having malaria, you know, if you take paracetamol, you know, it addresses the headache. But if you want the malaria to be cured, then you should have a medication that will address the malaria itself.
The root cause,
that is what we are doing. So MEDA is addressing the root causes, and I believe that as we undertake these interventions with the support of everyone, we will be able to resolve the issue of DUMSO in the medium term.
Okay, those are your words. Yeah. Thank you very much, Engineer Orua Safo. Thank you. He's been with us since morning around 8-ish, and we think that we've kept him here for long.
Yeah, but one more. So the concession is going to be for 25 years.
The term has not yet been determined, but it will be between 20 to 30 years. Normally.
And what quantum of investment are we looking at to get from the concessionaire?
The quantum of investments will all be lined up. But let me say that right now, under ECG's arrangement, our studies show that they need investments in the order of $200 million a year.
$200 million a year.
You know, to be able to sustain the system and rejuvenate the system. Now, the actual investments that will be determined, again, I don't want to preempt it, because next week we are going to receive a report which will be a feasibility report which will address all these issues. Mm. But definitely the concessionaire will be required to undertake investments, you know, so that our system can be renewed.
So ECG makes about $750 million a year. We need an investment of $200 million a year, taking, let's say, overall cost to say $1 billion a year. So we need to look at economic tariffs in the medium term.
Well, I think you always want to go back to the issue of tariff. I mean, I'm saying that the issue of tariff, we have a regulator. Let the regulator deal with their issue of tariff. So far as we are concerned, what we are saying is that when it's time for tariff increases to be made, those tariff increases should be made. That is all we are saying.
Thank you very much, Engineer Oru Asafo. Wish you well at MEDA.
Yeah.
It's 9:24. So
let me thank you. Sorry.
Yes.
Let me thank you very much for the opportunity given us. What we are doing is very, very important. We believe that if done well, which we intend to do, we will resolve the root causes of DUMSO as we have it in the medium term. Mm. And so we want to ask for your support and the support of Ghanaians going forward, so that power, which is very, very critical for economic development, will be available in the quantities that we need them and at the price that we should be paying. Thank you very much. Come on, for a light. Anytime I force to be in your light.
Hello,
Zach.
What's up,
boy?
Okay.
Ah, who's
what about?
The light, boy.
Now you better they're coming.
Ah, okay. Because you do me a deal in India. I'm not charging my phone.
What's up, Ram? Okay.
Nyanko ponsa ni amba poma kame mame. Nye beto me mane die wo ni pebi abe gane. Omaya wuti ma wo life okra wunti ni mplane wuda zoom. Osansu ni sika wudi tredi ane. Enkane wuko sukuwa yese watra. Ende u ni generator na chese wa mobra. Ahotre adani nkutoma ye dibisra. Omaya na simoja yese oba wa ye bra. Nenko ti ame tiyo position ama me cash. Ama me cash akame wafase ne woda sofa bas.
Well, quite a number of you are still tweeting comments to our guests.
Supporti yen supporti ha.
Okay, so this text from A O goes up and says, Bernard, if I come to inform you that I'm changing your mother for you, or I'm taking you to a foster care, what will you say? Hashtag CTCBS.